Good morning. I think I've said good morning to y'all, but if I haven't, if I miss somebody, good morning. Okay, last week I started a series about choosing the right things for your life, and last week it was choosing the right values for your life, those things that you need in your life to make life worthwhile. Today I want to talk about choosing the right guide for your life. Now, if you ever get gone to a different city or a different place where you haven't been before, you have four options of what you're going to do. You can get there, and you can get off the bus or get out, park your car, and you can drive or walk around the city and see what you can see. But you've never been there before, so you don't really know all the good spots, all the good things to do. You do the best if you're walking. Now, the second one is you can get a map. You can go down to the 7-Eleven and get a map of Salt Lake City and look on there and determine more of the things that, you know, you might want to see, might want to do, things like that in that city and seeing what's there. That would be a little bit better than walking around and just seeing what you come up with. You could get a guidebook about the city, because they make them. They have little books that tell you all the ins and outs and all the good things that take place and all that fun stuff. And so you get a little bit better. You can go to Hollywood and you get a guide book about the maps of the stars. So you can go by and drive by and look at the houses and stuff of which stars live where and all that fun stuff. They even have some about past stars' mansions that are abandoned. So you can look at that stuff. The guidebook will also give you an idea of where to go get some good food to eat and things like that. Sometimes they'll even tell you places to ignore or avoid. But if you really, really want to know about the city and get the best out of it, you would get a personal guide or get somebody who lives there to guide you around and show you all the things of the city. Now, I could do that to a degree around Salt Lake City because I get out and about a bit and look at the things that are there. And so I could be a guide in that aspect. I've had friends come in from out of state or out of country, and I take them down to Temple Square, and I've been on enough guides down there that I can tell them about the temple and how the foundation's 15 feet thick and all this fun stuff. You could get a personal guide. In Jesus' life, he was here for a while, and then he left. You know, you could ask, well, why did he leave? Well, he was offering up his life to pay for our sins, but some people will say, well, why didn't he just hang around? Having him here personally would be better. You could say, well, he's out in Magna, let's go see him. But that's part of the reason why he left, because he told us, he says, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, you're not going to get to help the guide you really need. In John 16, 7 and 13, it says, Jesus said, it is actually better for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the helper won't come to you. But if I do go away, he will come because I will send him to you. And when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will tell you what is yet to come. Jesus could only be in one place at one time, but the Holy Spirit can be every place at once. The Holy Spirit is in every one of us right now. If Jesus were here personally, he could be here, but he couldn't be down the street. And so he says, it's better for you that I go away. And so he did. And he said, the helper's going to come to you. That personal guide that we need is going to come into your life and guide you. Now, question, do you know what the difference is between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost? Nothing. Okay, back in 1611, when the King James Version of the Bible was being translated, there were two groups doing the translating. One group used the Holy Spirit, the other group used the Holy Ghost. Back then, the ghost didn't have the connotation of spooky like it does nowadays. But it was just, both of them just mean the Spirit. So if you read something that says the Holy Ghost, not a ghost of somebody passed, it's just the Holy Spirit, just a different name for it. But in John 14, 16 and 17, it says, Jesus said, the Father will give you another helper who will be with you forever. Okay, Jesus was mortal. He was a human being. He had a lifespan when he was on the earth. But he says, when the helper comes, he will be with you forever. That helper is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it doesn't see or know him, but you know him because he lives with you and will be in you. You know, I highly recommend that you take the Holy Spirit as your personal guide. So what does the Holy Spirit do in your life? Well, this is some of the things I want to look at today. How does the Holy Spirit actually guide you? What does the Holy Spirit actually do? How do I let him guide my life? And what are the benefits of his guidance? And the reason it's important, because Acts 8 says that unless you are guided by the Holy Spirit, you're not a child of God. You're not a child of God if you're not guided by the Holy Spirit. And that's the mark of a believer, is that the Holy Spirit guides them and leads them. If you're a believer and the Holy Spirit's in your life, the Holy Spirit should be guiding your life. If the Holy Spirit's not guiding your life, either you're not listening or you're not a believer. That's kind of a scary thought. But you are a believer. Because you are a believer, the Holy Spirit will get you in a better position in your life. And when you first become a believer, you don't know that much about the Holy Spirit. And it's harder for you to hear because you're not used to the Holy Spirit. But as you walk with the Holy Spirit and you're with the Holy Spirit more, you become more aware of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was here the other day and Gary called Kyle, and Kyle says, "Who is this?" Really? If Kay calls Karina, Kay does not have to say, "Hi, this is Kay," because she knows Kay's voice. Most of you, if I called you, I would not have to tell you who I am because you've been around me enough to know my voice. And that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. The more you're around the Holy Spirit, the more he calls you and leads you because you get more familiar with his promptings and his guidings and doing things in your life. So if you listen to the Holy Spirit and you let him guide you, he will teach you. He will teach you things that you need to know. And if you listen, he'll teach you what you need to know. So if I listen to the Holy Spirit and let him guide me, he will teach me what I need to know. And there are things that we need to know in life. There's a lot of things that we really do need to know. Spiritual things in our lives. There are a lot of things that we don't need to know. And most of that is on television, you know, and that. Kay and Karina are going through a thing where they're going to have to do a media fast. I did that once. It was painful. Okay? The Holy Spirit not only helps us with what we need to know, the Holy Spirit helps us with what we need to know in the moment. If you need the Holy Spirit in your life right now, the Holy Spirit can be there and will be there in your life in that moment. And when the Holy Spirit teaches you things, it's not like the Holy Spirit saying, "Well, I'm going to teach you all of this stuff, and so hopefully someday you're going to need to use it, and you're going to use it." The Holy Spirit teaches you what you need to know, when you need to know, so that you can work at it. And how does the Holy Spirit teach us? Through the Bible and through revelation. What's revelation? God revealing something to you. And guess what? All of you have received revelation if you're a believer, because the Holy Spirit has taught you things that you need to know. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to give you a revelation or an idea or a thought for your benefit. Sometimes it's for the benefit of somebody else. Sometimes it's for the benefit of somebody else. John 16:13 says, "Then the Spirit of truth comes. He will lead you into all truth." He will lead you into all truth through revelation, through giving you the promptings through the Holy Spirit. Luke 2:26 said, "It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit." It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit. What? That he was going to see the Messiah before he died. And he was going to receive that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had listened to him. So if I listen to the Holy Spirit, he will help me get to where I need to go. Simeon listened to the Holy Spirit, and he was in the temple when Jesus, Mary, and Joseph came in to bless Jesus. And guess what happened? Simeon was there and got to be the one who blessed him. if he hadn't listened, he would have been home watching TV. Oh, they didn't have it then. But, you know, he would have been doing something else and missed out on that. But he'd been told, you're going to see the Messiah. Luke 2:27 says the Spirit led him to go to the temple. The Holy Spirit also led a lady named Anna to be there also. And so they were guided by that. So we can be guided in the things that we're supposed to do. Now, I've had that happen to me. How many of you have been guided by the Holy Spirit? Been told things you need to do? One of the things that happened to me was in September, about the 28th of 1991. I had bought a house over here on Kelsey Avenue. I was remodeling it, and I had the upstairs bedroom in the back. I had torn off the roof and part of the walls, and I was building it back up. And anybody could have got in my house at that time. And so I had some time off from work, and I was determined that I was going to get that all closed in. So I got up, and I was put on my tool belt, and I started working. But the thing is, two things the Spirit prompted me. One, the Spirit told me that my dad was going to die during that time. My dad was really sick, and it was going to be a blessing because he had been sick for so long, and he was so tired of life. Secondly, the Holy Spirit told me that I needed to go to California to see a friend of mine down in San Francisco. And it was like, why do I need to go to California? You need to go see Denise. And it's like, okay, but I want to get my house, this thing, my house done. And the Holy Spirit just kept bugging. Finally, I just took my tool belt off. I dropped it on the floor right where I was, went downstairs, went into my bedroom, changed my clothes, packed a few things, got in my car, and headed off to California. I was going to stop at Yosemite for a night. I kept going. Got down to my friend's house in California, and I went over there and parked my car and went to her door and buzzed. And she gave me a key to her place, but I forgot it in my hurry to get going. And so she buzzed, and I went, but she didn't answer. She didn't answer. And this was before we had cell phones. So she didn't answer. So I went, okay. So I went up the hill to the ice cream place, and I got us each an ice cream that we liked the best. And took it back down, buzzed again, not there. So I went down the street to the grocery store. I bought groceries to make dinner. Came back, buzzed, she was home. She had just got home from a trip, from a conference she was at, and she was depressed like crazy. So I went in, fixed dinner, we talked. It was getting late at night. Spent the night. The next day, we went for a 3-mile walk from her house down to the ocean through Golden Gate Park and talked. The next day, we went a 9-mile walk across Golden Gate Bridge over to Sausalito, took the ferry back. And by that time, she was not depressed anymore. We'd talked things through, and she was doing okay. So I got in my car, and I headed home. Got home late Sunday night. Monday morning, Mom called and told me Dad had died. The Holy Spirit was revealing things to me that I needed to do when I needed to do them. And the Holy Spirit will do that to you too. Because the Holy Spirit wants to teach you. The Holy Spirit wants to guide you. In Acts 8:29, we read the story of Philip. God told Philip, go out to this desert road and stand there. When this chariot comes along, you hook yourself to that. You hitch a ride. And so he went down there, and an Ethiopian came along on a cart. Philip connected with him, told him about Jesus Christ, and baptized him. You go down to Ethiopia, the Christian churches back down there were founded way back, early. And the Ethiopian, by the way, was a black guy. So people say, well, you know, black, and they get over it, sweetheart. The Holy Spirit used the Ethiopian to do what he needed to do. The other thing is, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, he will help us say the right thing at the right time and in the right way. If you say the right thing at the wrong time, it's not going to be beneficial. It's not going to help him at all. And especially if you're in a conflict. Have you ever been in a fight with somebody and you say the wrong thing? Or not a fight, an argument, a misunderstanding, a fight. Okay? You say the wrong thing and it makes it worse. If we listen to the Holy Spirit and we get in tune with the Holy Spirit, we'll listen to that thing and we won't make the problem worse. The Holy Spirit will guide us through what we need to say. With God, I've said something and as soon as it came out of my mouth, it was like, wrong, thing to say. Okay? In Mark 12, 36, it says, the Holy Spirit led David to say, didn't tell you what he said, but it's just that the Holy Spirit led David to say something. And it was there. And if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit has put things in your mind, has put things in your heart, has guided you to do things. Just about all of you raised your hand when I asked if the Holy Spirit had guided you, so we can go that way. Now, sometimes the Holy Spirit, like I said, is going to prompt you, and you're not going to know. Way back in the 80s, way back before some of you were born, in the 80s, we used to serve communion. You'd come up, you'd get the wafer with the juice on it, and then they'd pray over you. Well, two guys came up right over there where that music stand is, and that's where I was praying over people. And they came up, and they wanted a prayer, so I prayed with them, and they left, and after service was over, they came up and they said, oh, I want to thank you for that prayer. It was so wonderful. It was just perfect. I went, oh, you're welcome. Could you tell by my inflection there that I had no clue what I said? Oh, you're welcome. And for months afterwards, every time I'd see them, they'd thank me for this prayer that I hadn't a clue what I said. It's like, okay, thank you, Lord. I couldn't take any credit for it, but God used me. And you know what? God uses you. That's the beauty of it. You're a believer. You have the Holy Spirit. You'll do it. How many times have you gone to church and you walked out thinking, that message was exactly for me? It's happened to me so many times. It's like, is this guy reading my email? I don't. You know, is this person reading my email? You know, it's like, you know, and sometimes God tells you in advance, and sometimes he doesn't. And so what we need to pray is, Lord, guide me, direct me, take me where I need to go, teach me what I need to say. And the Holy Spirit will do it. Guide me into what I need to say. And the Holy Spirit wants you to do what's right, because the Holy Spirit wants to lead you. So pray and then wait. Pray and then wait. Matthew 10, 19 and 20 says, do not worry about what you will say or how you will say it. At that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. In other words, just chill. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. Let him speak through you, because that's what he wants to do. And fourth, if you listen to what the Holy Spirit says, he will help you wait for God's perfect timing. He will help you wait for God's perfect timing. How many of you ever watched a baseball game? But everybody probably has. Now, in the baseball game, everybody throws exactly the same ball. Same size, same shape, all that stuff. If it's been hit or nicked, they throw it out of the game. The pitcher stands on the pitcher's mound. This pitcher's mound is exactly the same distance from the home plate, no matter what. The mound is the same height, no matter what. So what makes the difference between a star and an amateur? Timing. The person who knows how to throw the ball throws it in perfect timing and the same distance. But again, you can say the right thing at the wrong time and not make it. You have to wait on God's timing. And there's three parts that God will do in a vision, because we've all had visions, whether we know it or not, because sometimes the Lord will give you a prompting and you're not even aware that it's a prompting, but it's a help, like with the prayer, okay? He'll tell you what God is going to do and what God wants to do in your life. The problem is we get the prompting that we're supposed to do something, like start a business or start a class. And we jump right in and we get going because God's called us to do it. But there's three parts, and we get caught in the first part, and it causes us trouble. Second, he tells us how we're supposed to do it. That's an important part. If you want to build a house, it's important to have a blueprint so the workers know where to put what, so you don't have plugs in the ceiling and drains in the wall, so you know what you're doing. And third, the most important part is the timing. God's timing is perfect. And sometimes God tells you what you're going to do, how it's going to happen, but you need that period of waiting to be educated in what's taking place so that you know how to do it. You need that time of education, so we need to sit down and we need to wait. And the thing about if you're walking in the Holy Spirit, you don't freak out with delays. You don't freak out with delays. I tend to be too impatient. On my house over here, what I told you I was working on, I would get too impatient and do things stupid, lots of stupid stuff. I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to listen. Galatians 5:5 says, we are led by the Spirit to wait in the confident hope of righteousness through faith. We're led by the Spirit to wait, to wait. And while you're waiting, are you talking to God? Don't just sit there as a drone and do nothing. Keep talking, because the Holy Spirit's going to be educating you and guiding you through the whole process. Keep talking, keep listening. Number five, if you listen to the Holy Spirit, He will help you resist things you can't normally resist. If you're listening. I went a whole year one time without ice cream. Now, some of you, I hear the chuckle. Some people who know me go, yeah, right. That was a challenge. But it was for that whole year. I went without ice cream. God helped me. Then I took control of myself and I blew it. And I'm an ice cream addict again. But Galatians 5, 17 and 18 says, the desires of self-indulgence are always in operation, in opposition to the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are in opposition to self-indulgence, which keep you prevented from doing the things that you want to. But when you are led by the Spirit, you are not in bondage to the law. When you listen to the Spirit, you're going to be guided and directed where you need to go and what you need to do. The Holy Spirit is the perfect guide. We have the Scriptures. We have the Bible. We also have the Holy Spirit, who's the author. So when you go along and you're there, you don't have to do it. Galatians 5:16, if you are guided by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the selfish desires of the sinful nature. Now, do you notice it said, does not say that you won't be tempted? It says you won't fulfill it. He didn't say you won't be tempted. Why? Because you will be tempted. You will be tempted. And why is that going to be happening? Because you are a child of God. Satan hates you. Don't take it personal. But Satan hates you because you are a child of God, because you listen to the Holy Spirit. And Satan does not want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. God has a perfect plan for your life, a wonderful plan. Satan has a terrible plan for your life because he hates you. Satan wants to hurt God. So what's the best way for Satan to hurt God? To hurt you. Did anybody here have children? None of you. Yeah. So if somebody attacks your kids, it hurts you. You know, and that's what Satan does. He's got it down terrible. He's got this plan down there to hurt you and lead you astray in the way that goes along. Okay? But also it says in there, you're going to be tempted but not fulfill it. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted when he came out of the wilderness. He didn't sin. So the Holy Spirit's to protect you and warn you in those things. So the Holy Spirit will warn you. Then the Holy Spirit says what? Relax. Take it easy. Don't get all uptight. You know, and you might say, well, it's fear. Well, you know what? If fear's involved, it's not from the Holy Spirit. If there's fear involved in the warning, it's not of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit doesn't work in fear. It works in peace. Psalm 16:7, I praise the Lord because he guides me, and in the night my conscience warns me. Acts 21:4, the Holy Spirit warns Paul not to go to Jerusalem. He warned, don't go. Paul was warned several times not to do this or not to do that, and he just didn't do it. He wanted to. He wanted to go in those areas, but he didn't. So how does the Holy Spirit guide us? By revealing the meaning of what he has said to us in the Bible. Like I said, the Holy Spirit is the writer. He's your little Bible dictionary to whisper in your ear what God's trying to tell you through God's word. The problem is, sometimes we read the scriptures, at least with me, sometimes I read something in the scripture and it makes no sense at all. Any of you have that? You read it and it's like, what? Or you read a story and you go, well, that's really a nice little story, but how does that apply to my life? What's that got to do with anything? Just chill. It will have something to do with your life. And you'll go, oh, that's what that was about. Oh, that's why that song was on the radio. Oh, that's what happened in that place. And so that's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us in what we do, what we're doing. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. First off and foremost, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ and you don't have the Holy Spirit, you won't understand the scriptures. You may read it, but you don't understand it through the Spirit. Because the Spirit's the one that tells you what you need to do. The Spirit's the one that prompts you how to do it and gives all the blessings. So if you're not a believer, you're not going to understand the scriptures when you read it. You may understand it intellectually, but you don't understand it spiritually. John 15:26, the Helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth. And by reminding you what he had to say, one of the Holy Spirit's job is to protect you and remind you about things. And that's an easy part. John 14:26, the Helper will teach you everything and will cause you to remember all that I told you. This Helper is the Holy Spirit. He's going to remind you. But you know what? The thing about the Holy Spirit can remind you only if you've read. The Holy Spirit cannot remind you what Psalms 23:7 says because you haven't read it. It's not there. If you go into a college and you go out into the classroom and the professor gives you a test on something that he hasn't taught, what's your chances of passing? Not a whole lot. Okay? 2 Peter 1:20. You need to know that nothing in Scripture was just thought up by the prophets themselves. It was the Holy Spirit who directed and reminded them of those true words from God. Nothing was thought up just by the prophets. They didn't just have this little thing go, oh, okay. It was the promptings of the Holy Spirit. 3, he reminds us by giving us nudges and confirmations. Romans 8:26, God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. He gives us guidance. He gives us directions. I've talked to many people who have had dreams. One of the things God gives you is dreams to help us understand. This last week, something happened that I'm going to talk about a little bit later, but I ended up in Malad, and I saw my brother Jay. Well, he's smoked two or three packs for 50 years. He's got emphysema like crazy. He's got heart valves that need to be replaced, but they can't do it because it'll kill him. And he's right at the point right now where he could die any day. He had a dream. In this dream, he was standing on a riverbank, and he looked upstream, and there was my dad, as dad was when he passed away. Then he looked downstream, and there was somebody downstream with his back to him. He didn't know who it was. And then he turned around, and it was my dad, but my dad when he was young. My dad went fishing all the time. My brother used to go with him. And he looked at my brother, and he says, you're going to love this place. Turn around and walk down the stream. And my brother says, I think heaven's going to be really nice. I'm ready. And he helped guide. And every time we get an impression that's good, you should do it. I mentioned that I ended up in Malad. Well, there's been a couple up here from Montana. She's got cancer and has been going through all this stuff. And I've been taxiing them around, doing different stuff, taking them to doctor's appointments. And she called, they finally, they couldn't treat her because other problems. And they told her she'd be here for several weeks, and her bus ticket was a round trip, but it was long down the road. To move it up, it was going to end up costing several $100s. And she'd called me, and it was like 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'd been up till 2. And the Holy Spirit prompted me, because it reminded me of something that I'd been revealed before. And the Holy Spirit says, take them. And it's like, okay. So I says, pack. And she says, pack? I says, yeah, I'll be there in 20 minutes. I got up, didn't shower, didn't eat, just threw a few things together, drove off, picked him up at the motel, headed for Montana. We're headed down the road, and I says, you know how to get there, right? And they went, yeah. It's like, okay. So we headed off, got to Missoula, had a great chat with him, good talk on the way, stuff like that. And it was like, it was good. It was really a good trip. You know, 7 hours. Dropped him off at the place where they were going to stay so they could do the surgery. Came back on the way, stopped at my brother's and talked to him, and that's when he told me this story. But whenever the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something good, do it. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Do it. Just as service was starting, I got a phone call from Nephi. He says, do you guys have Bibles? It's like, yeah. He says, I don't have one. Can you mail me one? I said, well, we're just starting service right now, but if you call me back a little bit later and give me your address, I will. So, yeah. So do it. And so how does the Holy Spirit lead you? When you pause and be quiet. Philippians 37:7, be still and know that I am God. In English for me, that's D, sit down and shut up. Sit down and shut up. Listen and listen. Isaiah 30:15, in quiet and confidence will be your strength. When we let God be God and we listen to the Holy Spirit. Psalms 25:9, God guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Psalm 27:11, teach me, Lord, what you want me to do and lead me down the right path. Ask, what do you want me to do? And it will be through things that he said. Listen to what he says. But the other part of that is, when you ask, you have to want to be led. Have you ever asked something but you didn't really mean it? Or you were afraid that you might get a different answer than what you want? So you hesitate. I'm not going to really ask you that. That's kind of what I was doing with this couple from Montana. I had known days before that I was supposed to take them to Montana, but I was ignoring that. I could have taken them 2 days earlier, but I didn't. But you got to want to be led. If you don't want to be led, why would the Holy Spirit even tell you anything if you don't do it? John 7:17, whoever is willing to do what God wants and choose it will know what I teach comes from God. If you want to be led, God will lead you. And so we have to look at God's word. Psalms 119:105, your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. Your word. But we have to get in and read it. We have to give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to lead us. Psalms 119:133, guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. If you're not expecting God to answer, don't bother asking. James 1:5-6, if you want to know what God really wants you to do, ask him, and he will gladly tell you. For he is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. But be sure that you really expect him to tell you. If you don't ask in faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. I love that. That's out of the Living Bible. If you don't expect it, don't bother asking. Because God answers, listens to the prayers of faith, not griping. You can gripe all you want. God doesn't listen to that. He listens to your prayer of faith. He listens to your trust. And wait for God's response, and don't get in a hurry. I've said before, if you look through the scriptures, you'll never find a place once where Jesus was in a hurry, no matter what was taking place. Even if somebody was dying, he was not in a hurry because he knew where he was and what he could do. And lastly, Job 33:14, God does speak sometimes in one way and sometimes in another, even though people may not understand it. God does speak. I've had lots of times when I ask and I get an answer and I don't understand it. It's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. It's mine. So God has given us a guide for our life. Kevin, two of them. The first one, here's a guide. Look for a scripture, not a vision. Look for what's in here. If you don't know what it says, you've got the Holy Spirit, who is the author, who can reveal it to you. But be patient. God may be telling you something now for something down the road. Be patient. Not always this minute. This is a microwave world. God's not in a microwave business. He teaches us through the promptings of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And it's only through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, it's better that I go away. Yeah, it is. It is. Because we have the Holy Spirit. And it's not limited to just one person. And God may speak to me in one way and speak to you in a completely different way to give us the same answer. Because I may not listen to the way God would speak to you. And you may not listen to the way God would speak to me. But when you have those questions, take it to the Lord in prayer. Listen. And then, as I said, shut up and listen. Be quiet. And if it doesn't happen right away, don't get frustrated. Because maybe God's teaching you something that you need to know before you can move on to the other parts. Now, close your eyes, bow your heads, ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this? Would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you. Thank you that you want to teach us. You want us to know your ways. You want us to walk in your light. You have a perfect, wonderful plan for us. And Satan has a terrible plan. Lord, help us to walk in the plan that you have. Help us to let the Holy Spirit be our guide, our personal guide, to take us through life where we need to be and where to go, that we can reach out and help people that you send our way. Lord, help us to be patient in our walk with you, because sometimes, Lord, we're going to be uptight, and it's not you, it's us. We get impatient, Lord, because we get too anxious. Help us to be calm. Help us to set the anxiousness aside and walk in your peace and your love and to listen and to reach out and love each other. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.